This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go. With you here on a Saturday morning, April 12th in the nation's capital, just after 11 AM. And if you missed any of this show, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. It's been a Mock It Up Saturday on AWOD Radio. We did a few segments of Mock Draft Madness for the Washington Commanders. I gave my take on what I think is most important for them to do at 29 overall in the first round. We got through the NBA, as I did want to chime in. Final day of the regular season concludes tomorrow before the play-in tournament and the NBA postseason. Let's go out to Augusta with a Masters update here on AWOD Radio, as our golf coverage is presented by Golfdom. Golfdom is fully stocked with all the latest equipment, apparel, shoes, and accessories with Golfdom in Tysons, Annapolis, or Rockville. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. As we look at the leaderboard update presented by Golfdom here for the 2025 Masters from Augusta, it's Justin Rose who is 8-under, and he will tee off his third round at 240. Had a 65 for round one, 71 round two. Bryson DeChambeau has moved into second. He is 7-under. Rory McIlroy is who I am rooting for in this year's Masters. He is 6-under as we look at the leaderboard in Augusta. Scottie Scheffler is 5-under. Didn't have the best round two after a solid start with a 68 in the first round. Colin Morikawa is 3-under par. Xander Schauffele is 2-under. Bubba Watson is 1-under. A few of the golfers are now underway here for round three, but the big dogs, the leaders, Justin Rose, DeChambeau, Rory, and others have their tee off at 2:30 and 2:40 today from Augusta. So we wanted to get into the NFL draft and the latest news and notes from around the National Football League. We call this segment NFL Hits Offseason on the Fan.
Every offseason rumor, every free agent on the move, and the drama surrounding the upcoming NFL draft. It's NFL Hits on AWOD Radio.
So Derek Carr has a shoulder injury, and now the Saints quarterback, his 2025 season's reportedly in question. Carr is now exploring his options, according to NFL Network and CBS Sports, which reportedly could include surgery. So the Saints were thrown a major curveball before the start of this weekend when it was reported that Derek Carr is dealing with a shoulder injury that will threaten his availability for 2025. Well, there had been talk and a lot of, you know, movement on social media towards the Saints selecting Shedeur Sanders at number 9, Well, now I think the odds move a lot sharper towards Shedeur Sanders to the Saints at number 9. There was an article locally that said, could the Saints now possibly call Washington for the services of Marcus Mariota? I don't think they'd want Josh Johnson, who Washington just brought in as quarterback 3, but could you, with Josh Johnson now as quarterback 3, be willing to give up Marcus Mariota for a 3rd or 4th round pick? Would the Saints be interested? I mean, I think if you saw him play this year, you'd be like, damn, he was really good against the Panthers, the Browns, and he won the game against the Cowboys at the end of the season. I think Mariota's the perfect backup quarterback for Washington, and Jaden Daniels seems to be able to be a mentor for him. But, if the Saints or another team is calling right now, see what happens there. I'd be willing to move on from him to get a guy that will be, a draft pick in this year. I don't want to give up Mariota for 2026 and 2027 draft picks, but for this year, absolutely. As the NFL draft is 12 days away, I wanted to talk about my personal favorite players in this year's draft. Who do I think is going to blow people away? I mean, you think back to last year, Caleb Williams got all the hype. Caleb Williams went number 1 overall. The face of the 2024 season was the guy to win number 2 overall in Jaden Daniels. And I'm not even sure if you would say Caleb was better than Bo Nix, who went later. So as we look at this year's draft, we know the best available player, according to many reports, is Abdul Carter. He's not my personal best player available. That's because I think he's still new to that position. He's kind of undersized for what I'm looking for. I get it. You're comparing him to Micah Parsons. I want a bulkier edge rusher who's also going to be able to set edge and stop the run. And so that's why, for me, it's Jalen Walker. I think Jalen Walker is that guy that is a hybrid front seven defender. Can play linebacker, can play edge. I think he's going to get off the ball quick and be a massive impact player. And he's going in a lot of mocks between 5 and 10. Well, between 5 and 10, you're going to end up on a much better team than Abdul Carter, who's just in a bad position because what is he going to do, play for the Cleveland Browns or the New York Giants, who don't have a lot of good positions? I guess now they have the quarterback position with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. I don't think they draft a quarterback. I think they go with those guys for 1 year. But for me, Jalen Walker is who I think has a chance to be your defensive rookie of the year. Offensively, and I hinted at this at the start of the show, Travis Hunter out of Colorado, the Heisman Trophy winner, is getting a lot of hype as a cornerback. And then some people want to use him as a wide receiver. I would use him as a corner for his rookie year. But he's not my favorite defense. He's not my favorite player in the draft if you're going to consider him an offensive side player because of what he can do at wide receiver. For me, that's the guy that I thought should have won the Heisman Trophy. Ashton Jeanty. I am obsessed with Ashton Jeanty. From what he did in the regular season and in the postseason, and I mean, Boise State's running back was just so good all season long. We tracked the touchdown leader in college football all season long on my show. Ashton Jeanty was our Touchdown Tuesday champion. And I think this is what gets me most hyped for him. It's the 2,600 rushing yards, ranked 2nd in NCAA history behind Barry Sanders. Also, the year before that, he led the FBS running backs in receiving yards. He can do it all. At 5'9", 211, he's like a little jitterbug that I just think is going to burst through holes and be an impact player day one. Whoever gets Ashton Jeanty is going to take their offense to the next level. The perfect fit for him, in my mind, would be the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know how they make that happen, but give me Ashton Jeanty lining up next to Joe Burrow. That's my second favorite player. My third favorite player in this year's NFL draft, I'm going to go to the quarterback position. It's not Shedeur Sanders. It's not Jackson Dart. I am a Cam Ward believer. I think Cam Ward is going to be your NFL Rookie of the Year. I think Cam Ward's going to have a tough situation in Tennessee, but I think he's going to make the most of it because that guy just dodged people left and right in the backfield at Miami. I was just his escapability, the way he maneuvered around the pocket, but also still kept his eyes downfield. I thought the way he played for Miami, I thought he looked like a quarterback, an NFL quarterback of the future. Like, he didn't look like a college quarterback that makes college mistakes and quickly looks to run when there's a guy in his face. He was scrambling to throw. I thought it was a little Jaden Daniels-esque at times. He threw 39 touchdown passes to 7 interceptions. I mean, that's just an insane touchdown-to-interception ratio. He can get north and south when there's a running lane, but it's not the number one part of his game. I think the hype is real for Cam Ward. I cover the ACC pretty closely, and there was all the hype about him after two seasons at Washington State, and I thought he lived up to the hype. And I thought, honestly, Miami was unlucky to miss out on the ACC title game. The defense, I thought, led them down towards the end of the season. But Cam Ward's my guy. I think Cam Ward is your rookie of the year in the NFL. I think he lifts the Tennessee Titans out of quarterback hell. And, you know, I don't think they have the team success that Jaden Daniels had. And I don't think they have the team success that Bo Nix had. But they were a 3-14 team with a ton of issues. So I will say Cam Ward can lead the Titans to 7-10, maybe even 8-9 if things break their way. It's not like they're in the toughest division in football. They could absolutely steal a game from Jacksonville, Indianapolis, and maybe even the Houston Texans if Ward can go toe-to-toe with C.J. Stroud. But there's a reason that he's going to go number one overall to Tennessee, and it's not just because the Titans need a quarterback. It's because I think he is a star. I am really looking forward to seeing Cam Ward in the National Football League. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio. 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We're 12 days away from the 2025 NFL Draft, and the Washington Commanders will be on the clock at number 29 overall. Do you think Washington will end up making a first-round pick? My take all offseason long has been no. And I like what I've heard from a few reporters who we've had on this show, like Craig Hoffman and others, who kind of seem to be saying, will the Commanders take a first-round pick? Most likely they're going to make a first-round pick. Do they want to take a first-round pick? I think the answer is no, they want to trade back. If you ask the front office, that's the way they would like the board to fall to them, is that there's a run on running back or cornerback, and there's a desperate team who's willing to call them, Washington, and move up to get their guy. And Washington doesn't want to fall back too far, but they'd like to acquire more picks than they currently have for the 2025 NFL Draft. Do you think Washington will make a first-round pick? And if so, do you have a guy you'd like them to grab? Let's go to the phone lines here for a little Commander's Corner, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Kevin in Richmond. Kevin, you're on the Fan with AWOD.
Hey, AWOD, thanks for taking my call, buddy.
Yeah, how are you feeling about the Commanders?
I'm really pumped. To answer your question, I think we won't pick in the first round. More I keep thinking about it, you're right. I think we only have two picks in the top 100. Like, compared to last year, I think we had six. So I think we got to do whatever we can to just compile as many drafts as we can everybody that I've heard has said, like, you know, picks 20 to 30 or picks 20 to 50 are basically interchangeable. So I think if we could do whatever we can to maximize as many picks between 100 would be great.
So, Kevin, here are the official selections for the Commanders. Round 1, 29 overall. Round 2, 61 overall. Then there's that massive gap, and they don't pick again until round 4, pick 128 via Houston. Round 6, pick 205, and round 7, pick 245. And I think a lot of people will say they'd like to have three people selected by the end of Friday night. Well, that's only possible if you can make a trade.
Yeah, no, that's correct. I mean, I don't know. For me, I feel like we keep talking about best player on the board. Like, if we can somehow, even if, get that in the first round and trade back in the second and acquire another pick before, you know, like 128, that would be great. But, I trust Adam Peters in every move that he makes right now. So even if they do only pick two picks, I believe that those will be the guys that will help us out. But,
yeah.
I mean, who knows? How the board lies isn't up to me.
Yeah, the Adam Peters we trust seems to be what everybody's take that is a Commanders fan. And it makes sense. I mean, I don't think anybody expected 4 wins to 12 wins and 2 playoff wins. Yes, Jaden Daniels deserves credit, but Adam Peters was the architect of the whole offseason and all the impactful free agents that he brought in. Kevin, if you've been listening, my big take on the show today has been 29 for me is the wild card selection, where I think it could be a wide receiver, a running back, an edge, a linebacker, a tackle, a safety, a corner. 61 overall, I'm circling that as the edge rusher. As kind of you mentioned as well, is there going to be that much of a difference between an edge rusher that will go late in the first round or late in the second round? I'm circling 61 at edge, which gives Adam Peters the opportunity to pick the best player available at 29. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think if we did have that one true, like, player on offense that can, like, you know, take it to the house, we don't really have the top-end speed guy yet. You know, I mean, like, Terry is our full playmaker, and Debo seems like, you know, with space, he can, you know, be one of the best players. But I do think we are one chess piece away on offense from being, like, you know, unstoppable. And I think this draft allows us to do that, whether that be running back or wide receiver.
Right. And yet, at the same time, 55 points were scored by the Eagles, and Saquon Barkley ended our historic season. So that's what's so tough here, is like, that's the last taste in our mouth, was the defense giving up 55 points. But I do think you got to try to put the most talent around Jaden as possible.
Yeah, I mean, 55 points comes off of 3 fumbles by the offense, you know? I mean, you get 3 guys who don't fumble, you know, maybe that's 35. I don't know. But, you know, it's neither here nor there. I just think that we are in a position where we can kind of draft whatever we want. You know, we're not really tied down. Yes, an edge rusher would be amazing. A guy who could, you know, get after the quarterback is definitely what we're lacking. But I think if we don't get somebody into, like, the late second round, I think we'll be okay.
Appreciate you chiming in, Kevin. If you want to call us, it's 1-800-636-1067. You could tweet us at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan as we continue this Commanders topic. I wanted to get into the wide receiver room. There was a story this week from the Commanders. Noah Brown's now fully healthy. He's ready to roll, excited for the upcoming season. Well, what do we expect from Noah Brown and the rest of the wide receiver room? That will include, of course, Terry McLaurin coming off of a historic season, which he broke the record for touchdowns for a Commanders wide receiver. You have Debo Samuel, who will be coming in on a contract year. There's McCaffrey there. Michael Gallup was signed. What are you expecting from the current wide receiver room? Does it need to be upgraded in 2 weeks in the NFL draft? 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Your calls, your tweets next. You're chiming in here on AWOD Radio. I'm Adam Epstein. This is DC Sports Radio, 1067 The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 1067 The Fan, simulcast Team 980 and Richmond 910 AM. and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. John Keim for ESPN writes, how the Commanders can help Jaden Daniels build on success. He says, Jaden Daniels' future, protect him and get him to protect himself. I think they did a good job of protecting him in the offseason by adding Laremy Tunsil and Deebo Samuel will help him presumably get rid of the ball quickly, right? Because he's great when you get him in space. So can they continue to build around Jaden Daniels in the draft while also getting the impactful players they need on the defensive side of the ball? That's why I'm circling 61 as our edge rusher. We need an edge. The world knows we need an edge. We're desperate for an edge. But in the first round, I want to give Adam Peters the option to have a wild card pick, maybe a running back or a wide receiver that he likes falls to him. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Let's take a listen to the Commanders' general manager, Adam Peters, when being asked about trading down.
Given where your complement of picks is, do you have to give extra consideration to trading down to try to pick some picks back up?
That's certainly something that we'll consider. We'll consider everything, trading up, trading down. We always do. With trading down, you have to have somebody who wants to trade up, you know. And that's what I always say, like, I'd love to trade down all the time, but there has to be somebody else that wants to trade up, and it has to be the right deal. And how far do you want to go back? And all those different things you take into account. Who's there on the board, right? Is there just one player on the board that you want? And if that's the case, then maybe you think twice about trading back, because, you know, but if you have five players on the board that you really like, you can trade back a few picks, and then you can just pick one of those. And I think, you know, with what we did in free agency and through the trades, we have the optionality to really do anything at 29, which we feel really good about.
That's certainly something that we'll consider. For most of the fans that said they have to get an edge rusher at 29, I think you kind of answered that they feel like they've done a good job in free agency. They still know that they have some holes to fill, but they feel like they could do anything in the first round. What would you like Washington to do? 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to line two. We've got Alex in Silver Spring. Alex, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, Rod, here we go. It's a long season. It doesn't hurt to have an extra wide receiver. Also in the draft, it would help to get a hammer running back, just like Peter says. And I like the way he's like keeping everything hush-hush.
So what if you have to decide, if it's wide receiver or running back, which are you selecting?
Running back, no doubt. I like that guy from Arizona. He kind of looks like Edgerrin James. And I also like the other guy from we really need to find someone like Clinton Portis. Remember how he used to block?
Yeah.
When someone would blitz?
All right. Yeah.
And that's and the way he used to be able to hit a home run hitter. We need a CP on today's era.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, good call. Unfortunately, I don't think that's Brian Robinson Jr., as much as I want it to be him. I'm going to throw out the name Travion Henderson, who's a kid from Richmond who starred at Ohio State this year. And there's a lot of really good things about Henderson. Number one, he can run the ball and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. If you saw the college football semifinals, he put that game to bed with a 75-yard screen for a touchdown, basically to start the second half. He also has had some home run runs. A big underrated part of his game is staying strong in the backfield and blocking for his quarterback. I thought he did a great job of that, better than Judkins this year of doing that for Ohio State. And Judkins is a possible first or second round pick. Henderson's a possible first round pick. I like both of them because they split carries with each other, so there's less wear and tear on their body than on some of these other wide running backs that had to, hold the rock for every single snap. They split carries, which means they both still have, in my mind, a lot of energy left to be spent their rookie year in the NFL. Let's go to Toby in Clinton. Toby, you're on the fan with AWOD. What's up, Toby?
Hello? Tony, T-O-N-Y.
Tony. My bad. What's going on, Tony?
It's all good, man. Here's what I think. Like, you mentioned a wide receiver room. I don't think any of the guys outside of Terry that we get from here and what we currently have are going to just beat people straight up off the line and just wide receiver to cornerback type. It's all on Cliff. we got players that need to be utilized for their specific areas and niches. And if you compile it all together, it can be special. But I think it's more about Cliff's calling the plays with what we have as opposed to the actual wide receiver room. And then when it comes to that first round pick, you just take the best player available. Like, once you drop down that far, when you got four positions of need that's kind of the same, take the highest guy on your board and then just make him work, man.
So let me ask you a question. So if it's all about Cliff's schemes, how can he do a better job of getting Luke McCaffrey involved?
I don't know why would we really have to? I mean, if I wouldn't force it. If Luke steps up, if he proves to be like something of value, that's good. But I wouldn't necessarily force feed him into the
team. The reason
team,
I ask you that is I'm wondering, are you giving up on some of the guys they drafted last year already, like McCaffrey and Sinnott?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Those guys are just, there was so much going on right there. The offense was completely new. Things changed fluidly. Like, every four games, we were a little bit different. We went from a power running team, from a screen team, to a downfield passing team, to I don't even know how we move in the ball team. So we were all over the place last year. So those guys, you know, they weren't talented enough to just take over. They're going to have to find their footing first. So, no, heck no, we're not really going to give up on those guys. But I don't think Luke is a guy that's going to light the world on fire unless Cliff puts him in space. We need some speed, man. We need some speed.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Good call, man. Appreciate you chiming in. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. You can also tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Jay and Bill and Brian, let me know they're listening. Appreciate you guys tweeting me at AWOD Radio. Let's go to Kevin in Ashburn. Kevin, you're on The Fan with AWOD.
Hey, how you doing, man? Thanks for taking my call.
I'm doing pretty good. I'm fired up for the draft. How are you?
Oh, I'm definitely fired up. But I tell you what, I want to see the medical reports. I want to see the medical reports because I see where Josh Simmons would be available at 29. He's young. Think about all these guys that Washington picked up. They're 30 and a little bit over 30. And I'd like to have someone like Josh Simmons, quick feet. I like you'll be able to build up the line. And I'll tell you something else, too, man. I have not heard you say anything about Jordan McGee, and I haven't heard you say anything about Dominic Hampton, about how they will contribute this season, and some of the guys that are on the practice squad. I keep hearing about these other players, but I don't hear about these guys on the practice squad. They got a guy who's 6'7" from Howard University. This dude's about 340-something pounds as an offensive lineman. So I like to hear about some of these other guys who are on the practice squad who you think may have a chance to push for to get out there on the field, man.
Yeah, I don't know if those guys are going to be impactful players. I really don't. I know the guys you're talking about. They've got me excited in training camp before. I don't know that they're going to be impactful players when we get to the regular season. I think that's why you got to get them in the first or second round. I think it's very interesting you're pointing to an offensive tackle. Do you not like now Laremy Tunsil and then Coleman, and your tackles are set?
No. I like Coleman, but I like Coleman. If they want to put Coleman in right tackle, I have no problem. But, again, Tunsil is about, what, 32?
Mm-hmm.
If I remember, he's about, what, 32 years old? Let me get some young people in there too. You know what I mean? So you don't wear and tear on them. I like Josh Simmons. That's the future. If you're trying to build a team with the quarterback, then you need he needs to grow with, you know what I mean, some young players as well. But but let me ask you this one last question.
Sure.
Do you think Welker will be helping McCaffrey?
I think Wes Welker is going to be fantastic for Washington. I've heard he's going to help out multiple people. Here, I wanted to read you a quote that J.P. Finley had Jennifer Lee Chan on the show, and she talked about the impact Wes Welker could have. And she said, Wes Welker absolutely got the best out of him. Speaking of Deebo Samuel, Deebo Samuel is a guy who isn't always super consistent, but Wes Welker is professional. Deebo was a guy who'd maybe come into training camp a little bit heavier. Will Muschamp, his coach at South Carolina, warned Kyle Shanahan about that. And I think the reason why Deebo Samuel had those three great first seasons is because Wes Welker was on him about being a professional and how to show up and work every day. It's the best case scenario, not only for the Washington Commanders and Deebo, but for Wes Welker as well. So initially when Wes Welker was signed, it felt like, yeah, all the talk was he's going to help Luke McCaffrey. And I still think that could be the case because he was a fantastic slot receiver. But I think he's going to help with Deebo Samuel as well. Heck, he might even help Cliff Kingsbury come up with some play designs. Those guys have a great history together. So I thought that was a great move by Washington.
Hey, let me just slip this one last question in. And that guy Jackson, who's a 6'7" tight end, have you heard anything about him, about whether or not he may get a chance to get on the field?
Who are you talking about?
They signed a tight end. I think his name is Tyree Jackson. He's a 6'7" tight end.
I don't think so. I the guy that they like at tight end is like Colson Yankoff, but we were talking about this throughout the show. I think tight end is the one position where they've closed the door. They're going into this season with Zach Ertz, and that makes sense. He was fantastic. With John Bates, he's their blocking tight end. And then with Ben Sennett right there, Sennett. And then Yankoff is the guy that could compete. But outside of that, I don't think there's any chance that anybody else makes the roster at tight end. Appreciate you chiming in, man. Good questions.
I appreciate you taking my call.
Of course. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. We are live and local here today until 12:15 ahead of the Washington Capitals. So we've got an extra segment, which means we've got an extra chance for you guys to chime in ahead of the Capitals at the Blue Jackets. That coverage will begin right here on 106.7 at 12:15 p.m. So we got an extra segment, which means this is not the final segment, which means more chances for you to call in. Tweet us your thoughts as well at AWOD Radio, AWADDRADIO. Let's talk wide receiver next, all right? What can we expect from the wide receivers that are currently on the roster? And how much of an emphasis do we need Adam Peters to put on adding one more wide receiver? Because I'll tell you right now, I'm going to be pissed off if there's not one more wide receiver either in the draft or a guy that gets cut at the end of the season like Noah Brown on this roster. I need one more guy, and he's got to run fast. I need speed. You're listening to AWOD on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here with you on a Saturday morning, live and local in the nation's capital. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. What are you expecting from the wide receiver room, the current wide receiver room for the Washington Commanders? Do they desperately need another wide receiver? I've been saying 61 overall, I'm taking my edge rusher at 29. I'm taking best player available, whether that's wide receiver or running back or just the edge rusher or linebacker, whatever it is. I'm letting Adam Peters go wild card because edge rusher will take at 61. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Lou in D.C. What up, Lou?
Hey, Wad. What's going on, man? Long time. How you been? Everything good?
Everything's good, man. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the current wide receiver room for the Washington Commanders.
Hey, first and foremost, I want to give a shout-out to the greatest man, Ovechkin, man. Keep doing it, and he just keep killing it, man.
Lou, let me ask you a question while you mention that. Did you grow up playing hockey or watching hockey, or did you start getting into it because of Ovechkin like me?
I got into it. I mean, I watched hockey, you know, back, way before OV got here. You know, I watched the Capitals back in the day. But once he got drafted and once we got a star that I know he was going to be one of those guys, and and I just followed through, man. I've been a fan for, I think, since maybe like the 2000, the 99 season, around that time once I kind of, you know. But, you know, they wasn't that good until we got him. So, I know they went to the final in 99-2000. But other than that, yeah, I got into it once he really got drafted. I just became a fan and, you know, went to, you know, when we had the parade, I was out there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just nuts out there. So to watch him to do what he's been doing is just amazing. At 40 years old, what he did in that second period against Carolina on Sunday. I mean, I believe it was Thursday night. I mean, this guy is just, I mean, the hits that he keep doing, I need that energy from the entire team in the playoff run, man. Are we going to try to go, you know, get a cup? That's what matters to me. And I know that's what matters to the team and Ted as well. So we need to get those kind of energy from him. I mean, not him. I mean, he's going to bring it. And, you know, Tom Wilson as well. So the rest of the team need to follow up with that kind of energy and, you know, putting the hits on these guys, man, let them know. So, yeah, man, Ovi's the greatest, man. He's something special, man.
Absolutely. Seeing 895 was certainly a moment I will remember for the rest of my life.
Indeed.
So, Lou, back to the Commanders here. Terry McLaurin, Debo Samuel, Noah Brown, Michael Gallup, Luke McCaffrey, KJ Osborne. Expectations for that current group, and do you feel like I do, they need one more?
I mean, to be honest, it'd be a plus to get one more, but I want to address something else. I mean, I think at this point, I don't have any kind of, you know, worry about the wide receiver, the wide receiver position. But I mean, to me, I think that defensive end position, that kind of, you know, I talked to a Rooster about this yesterday, right at the end of his show, about TJ Watt posting some toodle sign saying peace out type of thing. I don't know. It might be something in a play, at draft day. You know, I know Pittsburgh is a well organization, but, I mean, this guy want to win a championship. I don't think he wants to be there in there, you know, this 8-9, 9-8, the little winning streak they got going on with Tom Wilson. I think he wants to be in the playoff, and he see what we did, and I know he beat us here, but I think it's time for him, I don't know, man. I hope they could work their magic, they could find a way to get him. I think that would solidify us to be a top five team in the league if we could find a way to pull that stunt off. I think he definitely, you know, he'll definitely be a good fit here for sure.
I appreciate it, Lou. Yeah. Let me take another caller, but I appreciate you chiming in. I do think that there is a chance that on draft night, Trey Hendrickson gets sent to Washington. I do think there is a chance that Adam Peters pulls off something crazy. Hendrickson is the name on draft night. But I also, you know that they want to build through the draft. And so that it's going to have to be a package that they really like if they're going to make that move. All right, let's go to line one. Let's just go to Brian on line one. You're on the Fan with AWOD. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, AWOD? Love the show, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, so I like what they've done at the wide receiver room. But one thing I haven't really heard anybody talk about is the lack of a legitimate punt returner right now. You know, I feel like that's missing from the room. I know Crowder, I have a soft spot in my heart for Crowder.
Same.
You know, going back to being here forever. So I'd love to see them bring him back, quite frankly, at least for camp. I think he's somebody they could potentially even sneak onto the practice squad if he doesn't make the 53. But they're also missing anybody with real size. So, you know, I think the tallest receiver they got right now is probably Noah Brown. He's 6'2", and I like Noah Brown. But I'd love to see them add somebody with some size.
Yeah.
A guy like Dante Thornton out of Tennessee, he's like, I think ideal. He runs a 4.3 and he's 6.3. He could be, you know, legitimate weapon for us. So yeah, I hope they had somebody with some punt return experience.
Yeah, Brian, let's break this down for a second because you bring up a good point. Not only do they need a punt returner, frankly, they need a kick returner too because the dynamic kickoffs are here to stay. And if you kick it out of the end zone now, you get it at the 35-yard line. I think teams are going to make sure they're kicking it short. I think they're going to work on that hard this offseason. I don't want to ask Austin Eckler returning kicks again. It's too much of a liability for him to get hurt. Their depth chart online says Deebo Samuel. I think that's just putting his name out there. There's no way in hell you have him risk injury returning kicks or punts. Luke McCaffrey, I mean, maybe that's his chance to get on the field and to prove something to the coaches. But Luke McCaffrey's not going to scare people. Neither is Jeremy McNichols. I think that's a great point. We need dynamic kickoffs are here to stay. We need a kick returner that can put some fear into people. And same with punt returner. And Jamison Crowder could be a guy for training camp, but I don't think you want him doing that for the entire season again. So you're right. We need we need a special teams, a special piece.
I mean, I know they like Kaz Allen, and he's I don't know, he cracks a 53. That'd be very tough for him at this point. But he's shown he's got, you know, he's dynamic and he's got some blazing speed, quickness. But I mean, I think he's got an issue with fumbles, and that's not the guy I want them to go into the camp with, you know, looking at their go-to guy returning.
No, and I don't want it to be a guy that makes the roster because that's the spot that they had for him. I want it to be a playmaker back there, and we don't have that guy. I mean, Jeremy McNichols might make the roster as kick returner, or maybe they say, oh, Chris Rodriguez, you're going to try to do that, but that's not like a dynamic player at that position.
Exactly, and we're at the point where let's go for it. You know, we had Steven Sims returning just by default a couple of years back because he was the only guy we had. Wasn't good. Well, hopefully they address those two needs. Maybe they address it. They bring in a cornerback, for example, that's got return experience. You know, that could be a scenario as well. But, I'm that nerd that's always, you know, trying to fill the gaps in the roster and trying to make sure we got all our, you know, everything covered. So, hopefully they address this.
Good call, man. I appreciate you chiming in. I mean, like, Mikey Sainer still, in a perfect world, I think could return some punts, but you don't want to risk that with how good he was as a corner this year. So there's so much risk in those positions, but it's also, you can see, if you have a dynamic player there, it really can help set up your offense. And the offense had an unbelievable season from Jaden Daniels, and the goal has been to build off of that. John Keimreips writes for ESPN, it was one of the best seasons by a rookie quarterback. Jaden Daniels established himself as one of the most dynamic players in the league. And he actually spoke with coaches and GMs about how the team builds off of that successful season. We'll dive into John Keim's latest for ESPN when we return here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond on 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. And we've been rocking and rolling with you here on a Saturday morning. Ben is in running the ones and twos behind the glass, and as we're talking all things Commanders in the NFL, you did need to take this time right now to go out to Augusta and the latest with the 2025 Masters. And our golf coverage here on The Fan is presented by Golfdom. Golfdom is fully stocked with all the latest equipment, apparel, shoes, and accessories. Get Golfdom. And you can visit them in Tysons, Annapolis, or Rockville. Golf them by Worldwide Golf. Get there. And they are the presenting sponsors of our Masters updates here on The Fan. And, you know, it's not as cool, for sure, without Tiger Woods. Even if he's not even competing and just way down the leaderboard, when he's there, you know, I get to do the Tiger Tracker and, you know, get to follow along. But here we are, the Masters leaderboard update right now. Justin Rose is 8 under par through two rounds. He will tee off today at 2:40 p.m. Same with Bryson DeChambeau, who's moved into second place at 7 under. Rory McIlroy and Corey Connors are both 6 under and will tee off at 2:30. Looking down the rest of the leaderboard, The best golfer on the planet, Scottie Scheffler, is 5 under, had a 71 in his second round, so needs to make up from that. He will tee off at 210. Colin Morikawa is 3 under. Xander Schauffele is 2 under par, and they are underway. Jordan Spieth has gone through 9 holes today, and he is 2 under for today, even on the weekend. So I was hoping for Spieth to have a decent performance. So he's out there, we are underway from Augusta with the leaders. They will tee off at about 2:40. Now back to the Washington Commanders. And, you know, I've been saying all offseason long, and I truly believe this. I'm not just saying this for clicks or for headlines. I truly believe this is the most important offseason in Commanders history. I've lived through the worst of times, born in 1992, and I finally saw this team get to the promised land, the conference championship game, for the first time in my lifetime. And I do love the moves that they've made so far, but I think the Commanders are far from done yet. And in the draft, Adam Peters, as good as they've done this offseason with Laremy Tunsil and Deebo Samuel and the bunch of guys on the defensive line and Will Harris in the secondary there, Adam Peters has a tough job because he needs to identify and select, I think, 5 more impactful players. And unlike last year, this year, the franchise, the Washington Commanders, only have 5 picks, and none of them are number 2 overall in any round. I mean, it was so simple for Adam Peters to make his first-round selection last year and Jaden Daniels. It's going to be much, much more difficult for him this year, and you also are attempting to maximize your window of opportunity while Jaden Daniels is on a rookie deal. So we mentioned John Kimes' ESPN article. Jaden Daniels established himself as one of the most dynamic players in the league, and Daniels led Washington to its first playoff win since 2005. How crazy is that? And from the year 1992 to 2023, Washington started 35 different quarterbacks. I feel like I could name 27 of them. I don't want to. I want to talk about Jaden Daniels for the rest of my life. And Kime was able to interview some coaches around the league about how you maximize this opportunity and successfully build around Jaden. And I thought this was very interesting from Super Bowl champion coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, who, of course, had a lot of success with Philadelphia, and then Mahomes and the Chiefs. He said, quote, "The second year is a big challenge. If you can get through your second year, you got a pretty good thing going." This is a massive year for Jaden Daniels, because last year, we were hunting everybody. Now we're the hunted, and every defense coordinator, I made a joke, but I'm kind of serious about this. They spent all of last season trying to find ways to stop Patrick Mahomes. A lot of defense coordinators are going to spend all of this offseason trying to find ways to stop Jaden Daniels, because Jaden Daniels was the best quarterback in the NFC. He was better than Jalen Hurts for this season. He was better than Matthew Stafford, and he went toe-to-toe with Jared Goff, and we wiped the floor with the Lions in their building. Take that, Detroit. Kime was able to interview Atlanta coach Raheem Morris, who said, quote, "When you play him," speaking of Jaden Daniels, "you realize how unstoppable he is with the 4 downs and having the ability to always have 4 downs because he's so special that way. His arm talent, his speed, his decision-making, his toughness, his high-level competitor, he's all of those things." I think his decision-making needed to get more credit this season. His speed got the credit. His arm talent, the accuracy got the credit, the deep pass downfield. But his decision-making is why his completion percentage was so high. So many opportunities, so many plays. There are 2 guys open, but, you got to decide which is more likely to make the catch, who's more likely to make a guy miss after the catch, which defender's less likely to jump the pass. I mean, the decision-making for Jaden Daniels was spectacular. I think the only reason it makes sense is the VAR headset, which I did not want to give any credit to for most of the year, but I think you have to by now, the VAR headset and the amount of experience that he had in college. I thought this was also interesting from Kimes' report on ESPN. Jaden Daniels had the 9th highest sack percentage, but was 15th in pressure. And Commanders coach Dan Quinn said during the season that Daniels improved at keeping his eyes downfield when scrambling, allowing him to potentially spot open receivers. Quinn also said Daniels improved at either running out of bounds on scrambles or throwing the ball away, with Quinn saying, quote, "He is a quick study on things. I knew he would improve on it, and there's still too many, and we're still growing. But there also is a time when this is the winning moment. That's a different discussion." And I think it's interesting when you consider the numbers of how much Jayden Daniels was pressured and what he did in those moments. It was spectacular for a rookie, and yet I think there were games in which he made mistakes. You look at the three-game losing streak, Eagles, Steelers, and Dallas Cowboys. I mean, the defense deserves to be blamed for that, but that he had some turnovers in those three games right there, and then the turnovers, of course, came back to bite this team when it mattered most at the end of the season in the conference championship game. And so how do you limit some of those mistakes? Well, he needs more time in the pocket, so he's not dealing with pressure in his face all the time. And so you add Pro Bowler Laremy Tunsil. You shift young offensive lineman Brandon Coleman around, who started 15 games at left tackle. And then I still think you need to grab another offensive lineman in the draft. And I want another wide receiver, because I think that's a weapon that can get the ball out of Jaden's hands quickly. Like, that's why I think Deebo Samuel was such a great trade for Washington. I mean, you could talk at length about how he's on a contract year. Players always ball out in a contract year. And you could talk about how he was just unfortunate with the injury and the sickness, and Brock Purdy had a down season. But you're getting an all-pro wide receiver who's going to be playing his ass off for a new contract. And I think Deebo's biggest strength is yards after catch. He's one of those guys, just put the ball in his hand. Heck, direct snap it to him every once in a while. Give him an opportunity to break a tackle and make a game-changing play. And so I think that was one of the best moves of any team this offseason, to bring in Deebo Samuel. And now you got to replace the speed factor that was De'Ami Brown. You need somebody that can take the top off of the defense that's not your number one wide receiver, Terry McLaurin. He can do that, but he's going to have to run all the number one wide receiver routes when we need a speed demon to just run the fly route, be involved in the screen game like De'Ami was. Maybe it's a special teamer as well. And I think that guy could be available in the first or second round of the upcoming NFL draft. And as I continue to do mocks, I continue to notice more and more wide receivers slip and fall to Washington at 29. More and more talented running backs seem to slip and fall to Washington at 29. And so maybe I'm talking to myself into believing that the right move for the Commanders is offense first round, edge rusher second round. If you cannot trade back, because I think you got to try to acquire more than five picks. That's Adam Peters' number one goal. Is you need five impactful players. It's very unlikely that you hit on all five of them, right? So you need six or seven picks. So how do you get six or seven picks? You got to find a way to trade back. But if they don't trade back, I would like offense at 29, edge rusher at 61 overall. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Thanks to Ben for filling in and running the board. Did a great job producing AWOD Radio. If you missed any of it, you can rewind on the Odyssey app or check out the podcast. That is Best of AWOD Radio, available via Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. I'll see you guys next Saturday here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.